Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Good morning, everyone. This weekend's gospel reading is a pretty long version. If I don't know if you've looked in your hymnal ahead of time. Last night before Mass began, Deacon Tom came to me and said, "Father, are we doing the shorter version of the gospel this weekend?" With anticipation in his eyes. And I said, "I think you already have an answer, don't you?" And he winked and we moved on, right? So, no, but Jesus is continuing his teaching in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, telling us how to live our life. We're actually going to do the shorter version this weekend, not because it's good to cut out the gospel or the Lord's words, but because the very last line is the one that we got to get right before everything else above it can fall in place. Let's take a moment now to call to mind the things that prevent us from receiving our God in his word and in his sacrament as we call to mind our sins. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Like I said at the beginning of Mass, I think that maybe all of the other teachings, at least from today, from the gospel today, could be summarized in that. Maybe all of the teachings of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount could be summarized with that. When you mean yes, say it. When you mean no, say that too. I think we live a lot in that tension. Do you want to go out this weekend? Do you want to go to dinner? Do you want to do this job? Or do you like this dress? Would you like this for breakfast or that? Do you want to hang out with so-and-so? Would you buy this from this community group or fundraiser? And a lot of times we feel caught feeling like we need to say yes or no when we really mean the opposite. So what is your big yes? This past weekend, we hosted in the vocations office another Savio event. Savio, as many of you know already, is a teenage faith formation brotherhood that we began 5 years ago, and it's grown really big, and the boys love it. It's fun for me, too, to even see them and their community that they've built. Anyways, this weekend we had a mother-son event. It was called the Super Bowl Party, S-O-U-P, Super Bowl. At least a few people laughed. Thank you. All right, good. Wasn't my idea, but it's a clever title. So the moms came. We went up to Hobstock, more centrally located in the diocese, and we had a mass, and then we had brunch, and they had a bunch of basically kind of minute-to-win-it sort of games, little challenges that moms and sons played against or with one another against all the other mom and son combos to see who the best was going to be. Now, the point of the whole day was not to see who won, although the boys definitely thought that it was, and some of the moms did too, actually. One of the moms was like 7 or 8 months pregnant, and she did all of the activities. I could not believe it. And she and her son tied for first place. Crazy, right? That's a dedicated mom. Holy cow, right? Or a really pushy son, one of the two. But anyway, so the games were things like hiking a balloon between your legs to your son or to your mom, and how many you could catch, right, in a minute, or kicking little foam footballs of various sizes into cups, and the moms and the boys had to jump around and catch the punted balls from each other. There were trivia competitions about who the mascots were or the cities were for each team in the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. All football themed, and it was great. One of my favorite parts of the whole day, though, wasn't just seeing the boys and their moms interact. It was that my mom was there. And so I got to see my mom and play games with my mom in this big group of 50 people. Stupid games, like fun, goofy, silly activities. And it was great. And as I saw my mom playing all these games with me and with these other people, and it was actually interesting, too, because some of the teenagers that are there, they're the oldest son, and so their mom is like 40. And some of the teenagers who are there, they're the youngest son of like 10, and so their mom is like 60. And so we had all of these ages of moms and sons playing these sports, and my mom, who's probably one of the older ones there, I better not say her age or she'd get mad, but here she was playing, like, and one of the games that I liked the most was the punting game because I'm a soccer player, and so kicking a ball was pretty... I actually took my dress shoes off because I was like, I wanted to win, you know? I was one of those guys. And so my mom is jumping around with this little pail trying to catch these foam footballs 15 feet away from me as I'm just kicking one after the other, you know? It was a blast. And as I saw my mom do this, what came to my mind, actually, as I stepped back at one point, I was taking pictures of the guys or the events, or I thought, I don't remember the last time that I just, like, played with my mom. I don't remember the last time that we just did something silly or goofy like that. It's been a long time. And probably that's because I'm 35 and I don't live at home and she's over 60 and doesn't want to do that either. But as I thought about that, I thought, how blessed am I that I have this memory with my mom? And then at the end of the day, as we closed, each of the boys was given a rose, and they went to their mom and they got to say one thing to their mom about what they're so grateful for about her, or what they love about her, what their favorite part about their mom, as they handed her a Valentine's rose, essentially. And as I thought about that since yesterday, I thought, what would be the thing I would say to my mom? And I think the thing I would say is that she has spent her whole life for her family. Whole life. And I was thinking about, like, as I watched my mom play these games and as I played them too, I don't know that my mom has ever gone to another, like, social gathering like that where her kids were not involved. Like, I don't think she's ever been on a committee or a board or a leadership team in her life. I don't think she's ever gone to, like, a social event for work because she left her career 2 years or 3 years, two or three kids into her motherhood. I don't think that my mom has even been on, like, church-related committees or social activities or clubs. She and my dad don't go to, like, events that are just for adults unless the kids are going to go with them, too. It's crazy to me. I can't imagine that. Like, yesterday, I went to several things without my mom or without a family, right? I do that, and I love it. But my mom, her whole life, and since I was born anyway, has been one giant yes to her family. And I cannot imagine my life or my family's life without that yes from my mom. Now, I say all that, and I'm not saying that my mom doesn't have many talents and skills that she could use outside the house, or that she doesn't have friends or hobbies, because she does. I'm also not saying that any mom who doesn't just do that is doing it wrong, because there's many ways to live your life in your vocation, whatever your vocation is. And I'm also not saying that my dad is not good or anything like that. It's just that yesterday I got to see it. I got to reflectively see it in my mom. And it was wonderful. It was, like, amazing, actually. It filled me up so full just that day, that 2 hours, that it made me also contemplate my own life. Like, what is my big yes? Like, what's the number one thing that I go for all the time, or every day, or what's, and if I know what that is, what is the thing that helps distinguish between when I say yes to this and no to that? You know, how many of you say yes to things you don't want to do? Okay, thank you. Yeah, for those who are not being honest, well, you know your hands are up too. How many of you struggle? No hands on this, but think about we struggle all the time with, like, do I go to this or spend time here? Do I donate to this cause or that one? Do I grow in this way by reading this book or watching this YouTube video? Is this thing good for my health? Jesus gives us a whole lot of examples to go through. It could be a great examination of conscience, the Sermon on the Mount. Have your eyes looked at things you shouldn't be looking at because it's not your spouse? Have your hands reached for things that aren't yours? Cut those things out. Has your tongue said words that aren't true? Have you cursed or sworn in ways that you know are lies? Have you taught people to sin, or have you taught them well? Have you been angry in your heart? Have you called someone a fool? All of that is stuff that gets put before us every day to decide. Am I going to do this or that? Am I going to let this grow in me, or am I going to stamp that down? Am I going to pursue this path in life, or am I going to let that one go? And I think all of that is difficult unless or until we know what our one big yes is. What is most important to you in the whole world right now? Is it your work? Is it talents that you have? Is it your spouse or your children? Is it your community, your parish? Is it your prayer life? Is it a cause that you bleed for? What is your big yes? I read a book a few years ago called Essentialism by Greg McKeown, I think. It was back in 2014 in the summer because I was writing a series of articles about leadership stuff. And this book was called Essentialism. And one of the things I remember most from the book was that he was talking about, various companies and organizations. One of the things I learned, I don't know if it was from this book or elsewhere, but he was talking about how some companies have like a motto and they go for it. Like, for example, did you know McDonald's? Their goal is not to make tasty food. Their goal is real estate. Did you know that? McDonald's looks for the cheapest property they can make the most money on based on traffic and income of people in the area, and they build there. They don't care about making hamburgers. I mean, like, that's the vehicle, right? They're a real estate company. They buy property that can make them money on their investment. Crazy, right? Apple. They started off as a technology company, but they make all kinds of stuff now that's not really technology-specific. They're about creating smooth, easy to access, and clean design things that will sell, fly off the market. And actually, since Steve Jobs left, there's not been a whole lot of innovation. No offense, Apple. These companies, they know what they're about, and everything else falls to the wayside. And the other thing I learned in this book was that Greg McKeown talked about priorities. He said, people misunderstand what a priority is. We say, like, what are your five priorities in life? No. You can't have five priorities, because the word priority means the first thing, prior. What do you do prior to anything else? When you wake up in the morning, your priority is probably the bathroom. Right? I'm almost old enough that that's true. You got to have one thing in life you go for to be successful in business or in life. And I think that's the lesson from Jesus today. That's the lesson from my mom today. Look at one more thing. Look at the saints. If you're not sure what you should go for in life, what your big yes is, look at the saints. Look at St. John Paul II. I think, I don't know, maybe one of his, or maybe his big yes was being a spiritual father to the world, to everybody. Whether it was in the concentration camps or the forced labor experiences, whether it was in his home country of Poland or around the world when he traveled more than any other human being in history. He wrote and he taught and he prayed for everyone else as a father to all. Or Mother Teresa. Last story, I promise. Mother Teresa, I was with her Order of the Missionaries of Charity over in Rome when I was studying over there. We were doing apostolic ministry or service work every week. And there was different organizations or communities that we could be a part of. And so we went to these various ones to find out what they do. We went and visited Mother Teresa's order, and there was a Mother Superior of that community in Rome. And she came into the room to talk with us. And I figured she'd come in the room and say, like, here's what we do and why, and here's the story of Mother Teresa, and here's how we were founded, and here's how many people we help, and here's what you do in here in the city of Rome, right? She came in the room, and she sat on the floor because they don't use chairs. That's how poor they are. She sat on the floor, and she looked at us, and she said, what questions do you have? And I looked over at the person in charge from our group, and I said, do you want to tell her to, like, share a little bit about their background so that kind of spur some questions? Here I am facilitating. Here's how you lead people, right? Idiot. Stupid priest. And so at the end, I asked her, I said, why don't you just kind of share with us, like, what you do, and then we could kind of go from there. You know what her answer was? Father, we don't give talks. We help the poor. Do you have any questions? If Mother Teresa would have written books and done podcasts and traveled the world and influenced business people and tried to make a name or whatever else she could have done, as good as she could have done it, she never would have been Mother Teresa. Because her one big yes was serving the next poor person that came to her door. I don't know what your big yes is, but it'll make your no's a lot easier. And if you find your yes, like my mom did, man, what a blessing you'll be to yourself, to the Lord, and to everyone.